your vision can see as I told you earlier, through mountains, through walls, through human beings, through objects, then you can see through, when your vision will be improved. The Sutra talks about such a vision where there can be no hallucination. If you tell me that during your meditation or during your prayers you saw Krishna or whatever you are praying for, and if you cannot see through the wall, then it is hallucination. Whenever you get a vision, darshan as we call it, a very common word, a household word, darshan. When you have a darshan next time, first see whether you can see through the wall. If you can't see through the walls of your temple or your home, then it is hallucination. Your vision has not come up to the point so that you can have vision of the soul. We call soul divine fragment. The normal words use the Atma Pramana. But these words have so many other meanings. So I use the terms divine fragment. The Lord sitting in your heart is divine fragment, a fragment of divine wholeness. If you can see that divine fragment, if you can have the vision of that divine fragment, how can you not have the vision of divine wholeness? And what is left then for you? And when you see this divine fragment, your eyes will not like to see anything else, not even the writing too. So many things waiting for you. There are many wonderful things waiting for you. You who are not making any attempt. If you think you have read the Gita, if you think you have read the Sutras and something else, it means nothing. These paper brothers can commit to memory Gita and Yoga Sutra. And you are no better than this. If you are committed Gita and Yoga Sutra to memory, you have to leave Gita, you have to leave Yoga Sutra in your life. But every breath you have to leave it. On the start, there is no philosophy. There is hard work, extremely hard work. And at no stage can you stretch your legs and say, I've done much, all enough. No. The very fact that you say that means you've done nothing. Because when you reach pratyahara, you will be dying to reach the state of dharma. And when you will reach the state of dharma, you will be dying for the state of dhyana. There will be no time when you will feel that you should relax and stretch your legs. Today you may not be as emotionally, mentally and spiritually moved as when you will reach the first step of pratyahara, then you will be on fire. The word fiery aspiration you will understand then, because then enormous delay is intolerable. Today, years go by and you are not even conscious. We'll go forward. This sutra is extremely beautiful. In the case of a man who has achieved yoga, the objective universe has ceased to be. A few minutes ago I told you that if your eyes open in broad daylight, then you will not be able to see the universe, this world, this people. Now mind for a moment. It will be this hour, as the sutra says. In the case of the man who has achieved you, the objective universe has ceased to be. The wealth of the universe has nothing to him. His eyes are aspiring to see something else, not the universe, not this world, not this people. He is dying to see something else, beyond the universe. So the mind of God, the spiritual God sitting in his heart and soul, in heart and mind, he is anxious to see that. And therefore, with his eyes open, the whole universe ceases to be. The universe does not disappear. But because his eyes are looking through the universe into something else, much richer than the universe, yet it existed, still for those who are not free. Who are not free? Those who have done nothing. They will see the universe. For them the universe will exist. They will see the world, they will see the people. They will have the days, they will have the nights. Only for the man who has taken the first step on Pratyahara, the universe ceases to exist. Because the wealth of the universe does not time down. The wealth of the universe does not interest him. He knows that something much richer is beyond the universe. In this Brahma, the head of Brahma, the three universes, are floating where? Are floating in the mind of God. Chitti. All the three universes are floating in the mind of God. And the man who has achieved the very important step of Pratyahara cannot see the universe because he is now seeing the mind of God. He is now in communication with the mind of God. And therefore the universe does not distract him and he cannot see the universe. But those who have not come to this stage, they have to be content in seeing the universe, in seeing the world, in seeing the people. There is no harm. There is no sin in seeing the universe, this world and the people. Well, you have to live with that. But to reach a stage when your eyes see through all these and go deep beyond the universe to see the mind of God, to communicate with the mind of God, and to be lost, to be unaware of this universe, this world, this people, even his own body, even his own breath, to be unaware to that extent is the first step Pratyahara. Many life is beyond is the second step, Dharma. And many, many life is beyond is the second step, third step, Dhyana. I have been told that there are some people who by touch raise a kundalini. See which is Sahasra, the highest chakra in your brain, and you will become one with God. But such people, when they talk to me, at that time they look like idiots to me. If they reach the high stage, they should make it evident to me that the wisdom is that if you are seeing the mind, if you are contacted the mind of God, you will hesitate to tell anyone that you have contacted the mind of God. And if you are so fluent to tell me that you have touched the mind of God, I believe that you have not touched your own mind. Let go the mind of God. So please, be not emotionally moved. If this universe is so large that you talk in terms of light years and millions of light years, it is equally long path to finally merge after communication, to finally merge in God. It is inevitable though that we cannot live outside of God. He is omnipresent. But that is not being immersed in God. We are unconscious of it. And as long as we are unconscious of that immersion, there is no oneness. Unless you are immersed, unless you are lost, can we for a moment or two, even a touch is not felt, even the seat on which you are sitting is not felt. If an ant is crawling along your skin, you don't feel it. And you are so much lost. So much lost to yourself, so much lost to this world. You have gone to a better place. Temporarily, momentarily, you have gone to a better place. Only the extremely lucky get such an opportunity. We take the next sutra. It's a very difficult sutra. The association of the soul with the mind, and thus that which the mind perceives, remember the word perceives, produces an understanding of the nature of that which is perceived, and likewise of the perceiver. It's a very difficult sutra. The association means communication. The communication between the soul means divine fragment, the living God sitting in your heart. And thus with that which the mind perceives, normally, the mind understands, the mind does not perceive. The word perceive is very important. Perceive is not equivalent to see. As I just told you, then you can see through the wall, then you can see through the mountains, then you can see through an object, then you see through a human being. His past, his present, his future. That is called to perceive. When that mind has reached that stage of to perceive, and then the mind is in association with soul, the divine fragment, the living God sitting in your heart. The sutra talks about communication at very high level, extremely high level. Thus, if that which the mind perceives produces an understanding of the nature of that which is perceived, the mind, that's a single glance, can perceive the motives, the emotions, the mental gymnastics of a human being. However much you might put on a mask and show that he is spiritual, he is learned, he is whatever, one glance and you know how hollow is that man. And the mind perceives, in association with the divine fragment, there's nothing left. The nature of that which is perceived and the cries of the perceiver, the communication joined the perceiver, I, with the mind of God, with the divine fragment sitting in my heart, and any other object in the universe, whatever that object be, even though it may be a black hole may be very awe-inspiring, but to the mind that perceives, nothing is dreaming, it goes forward. So much so that there are no steps between you, your mind, your thinking, your soul, the universe, the mind of God. There are no steps. It is one territory, divine territory. And the whole becomes a divine territory. And your mind has perceived. Till then, your mind is trying to understand. Till then, your mind is trying to grope in darkness, trying to find some pathway. The next sutra is still more beautiful. Read it and you will be astonished at its meaning. Your first meaning will be so different. Read it. The cause of this association is ignorance or avidya. Till now, you have been preserving and persevering to come to this stage. When you come to this stage, you turn your back and say, I don't want even this. It is avidya. Do you understand? The stage comes when this final persevering and perceiving, you turn your back and say, I don't want it, it is avidya. Now what happened? Then you get the richest prize in your lap. You take it up and say, no, I don't want it. It is avidya, if I want it. Because, as always the divine presence, as always a part of the divine wholeness, and what is there for me to achieve? All this time that I was thinking of achievement was avidya. It was foolish for me to think of achievement. It was foolish for me to think of taking steps for all these. I always was, I will always be the divine presence that I am. This outside clothing, why should it make a difference to me? I am the divine presence. I am the path of divine wholeness. And what am I to perceive and what am I to hope for? This is all avidya. I am that I am. This is to be woke up. At one time you are craving and burning to receive some gift. When the gift is thrown into your lap, finally you turn your back and say, I want nothing. What can the divine segment want? Everything. To want all this is avidya. I better forget all this wanting ideas. For I am myself the path of God. I am God. I am divine segment and divine wholeness. There is no difference. I have nothing to work for. There is nothing to achieve. But don't speak this too early. There's a lot of time before you can say that. Till then, you have to achieve. Till then, you have to work. Till then, it may be avidya or whatever, you have to do it. The sutra says this because as you reach Pratyahara, you wish to possess that power. As you reach Dharana, you wish to possess that power. As you reach the state of Dhyana, you further want to achieve and keep that power. Finally, the mind of God whispers in your ear, throw that away. It's not worth having. And then you turn your back and say, I don't want it. Thank you. This is illusion. Even this is illusion. That is the stage that the sutra is talking about. Please draw my attention up to the time because then we have to take. We'll stop somewhere here because then we'll need more than an hour for the exercises. but friends, I would like to keep the exercises first, so that those who do not want to take part in the exercises can come a little later. Instead of sitting here and then going away, they can come later when you start the exposition. So from the next meeting, from the 4th to 5:15 will be the exercises. And from 5:15 to 6:15 or 6:30 we shall have our talks. So those who are not inclined for the various exercises, they may depart peacefully. But not before we fix the next term in April when I will meet you, which is the first day available. Have we to take permission for that day? From here. Thank you.
Oh.
shall unlearn. I shall unlearn whatever I have read or heard on my own earlier in my life. I shall unlearn whatever I have read or heard on my own earlier in my life. Further, I promise not to divulge. I promise not to divulge whatever I am taught till I am given permission. And finally, I want to be useful to those who need my assistance. I want to be useful to those who need my assistance whenever I am able to assist. I want to be useful to those who need my assistance whenever I am able to assist. Today you are not able to assist if you want to assist someone. You will not be called upon to assist financially. That you can do even today if you have. You will be called upon to assist in ways and means you don't have today. Is that clear? That is why I said independence. I will not put you to any awkward situation. Don't worry. I will not ask you to leave your job and do something. Yes. Because today you are not able to assist even if you want to assist. And remember, please don't misunderstand if you are not accepted. Because I repeat once again, it is not that you are not worthy. That is not the criteria. If I see in your life certain events or certain reasons why you will not be able to finish the course, I will not accept it. It is not that you are not worthy, you need to be very worthy. And by not accepting, the loss will be mine, not yours. Don't try to write in a bad hand, pass it on to me. I can read bad handwriting because I have a very bad hand myself. Pass it on to me. So this week's the last Thursday, 28th. Is it clear? We are meeting on 28th of April. Now those who do not want, you are welcome to sit here and watch. But if you have time to go and do something else, you are at liberty to go. Pardon? Wisdom. Fourth law. 4 to 5:15 or so will be exercises. And from 5:15 onwards will be talks. Mister, who has written this? Of course, without your signature, how do I accept? Tomorrow you turn around and say, you have written it in my name. After doing this exercise, after 3 steps, after refining, after phrase, you have to accumulate energy and look fresher. You are all looking tired. See, the rhythm has not entered your body. When you move with rhythm, then the body doesn't get tired. All the positions and all the different parts of the body do not function rhythmically. You have to take care of the abdomen, the chest, the neck, the head, the shoulders, the elbows, and your palms. Before you begin, your palms must be right at the back, right at the back. Your elbows must be bent. Your elbows must be bent. Your abdomen and your chest falls in. Your head is down. You get this idea before you begin? Your elbows are bent. Your abdomen and your chest is down and your head falls forward down. Your lungs are empty and then you begin. 1, 2, 3. Elbows become straight. Chest comes out. The shoulders are high. The head looks up. The chin is up. And because you have pulled the lower abdomen, the perineum is automatically pulled in. Is it clear? And then at 5, 6, we bend the elbows, we let go the chest and the abdomen, and the head comes down. Again, it's a round movement. With 1, 2, 3, the elbows are straight, the shoulders are high, the chin is up, the chest and the abdomen are out, and the lower abdomen is pulled in. Then at 5, 6, you bend the elbows, throw the chest and abdomen down, pull the head in, and the breath is out. Again you take your breath, 1, 2, 3. All the different parts must be taken care of. The elbows, the abdomen, the chest, the shoulders, the head, the neck, everything you must take care of. So when you move, if everything moves in rhythm, you will forget time and you will never feel tired. But because all the parts don't move in rhythm, you feel tired. The hands are out,
so that the elbows can't move properly. Then you go forward and backward instead of rolling. Instead of rolling, you rock. You are not rocking, you are rolling. This is wrong. Because the hands are not correct. That is why you rock. If the hands are at the back, fingers closed, pointing outwards, then your body will roll. And to roll the body, the chest and the abdomen must fall and rise. Fall and rise. Elbows must straighten and bend. Elbows must straighten and bend. And the head goes up and down. Goes up and down. Goes up. All the movements must coordinate. Whether you do it at 18, whether you do it at 36, all the parts of the body must cooperate. I'm not happy with what I've seen today. Most people seem to be going back rather than improving. The ladies are better, much better. Much better. Especially this young girl, this young boy is very well. They are doing very well. Very well. Most of you are doing well, but then there is no rhythm of movement. You see, the most important thing is rhythm of movement. Jani, Mr. Jani. Anyway, till I'm happy with all the movements and the rhythm, we'll have to be on stage four. Phase four. We can't go forward. Can we do it? But the faith is not working. For a few minutes, not 10 minutes, for 2-3 minutes. You see, we'll do it for 2-3 minutes at 12 cycles, so that you can have every movement properly done. Hands at the back, touching your back, fingers closed, pointing outwards, elbows bend, elbows bend. Stop. Thank you.